Well, folks, this morning, what I want to start with is talking about, I want to ask you, I guess, can you remember a time where you did something in order to fit in? Can you remember a time where you did something in order to just simply fit in with the crowd or fit in with a group of friends? And I think what most of us do in our heads is we go back maybe to high school and we think of all the things we did when we were in high school to fit in. I think of some of the clothes I wore in high school to fit in. When I was in high school, it was when Michael Jordan was just getting really popular. And he had these really expensive shoes that he sponsored for Nike. And my parents said, there's no way you're going to get a pair of those tennis shoes. But I had to get a pair of Air Jordans. Remember Air Jordans? Everybody who's anybody had Air Jordans. I remember a specific pair of pants that became popular back in the 80s. They were kind of sweatpants. They had these wild patterns on them. Does anyone remember Zubas? Right? Had to have Zubas. We also wore these things called parachute pants. We tight rolled the bottoms of our jeans. We did these things just to fit in. And then there was our haircuts back in the 80s. They didn't call it this, but everyone who was anyone, if you were a dude, you had a mullet, right? Business in front, party in the back, right? And if you were on a sports team, the cool thing to do would be to shave lines in the side of your head. You might get your football number shaved into the side of your head. And much to my grandma's dismay, when I was in high school, I even got an ear pierced. Grandma was not happy with that. I want you to think today about all the things we do to sort of fit in. And here's what I think. I think we each have our own thing if we're honest, we did. Maybe for you, it was way back when you had to have that specific poodle skirt or that leather jacket or that pair of Chuck Taylor Converse high tops. Maybe for you, it was a motorcycle. Or maybe it was cutting class. You had to cut class to fit in. Or maybe there's some of you rebellious folk in the back who were smoking in the boys' room in high school. You see, we do these things to fit in. And here's what I think. Most of us, when we think about fitting in, we think, well, that's kid stuff. That happened when we were in high school. We're so much more mature than that. But I don't know. You see, guys, I want to talk to you for a minute. I think the fact that we guys are willing to pay $600 for a Yeti cooler says something about our need to fit in. I think about the phone in my pocket. Actually, it's over there. It's an iPhone. Do you know that the new iPhone costs $1,000? There's something about having an iPhone that makes you feel like you fit in. Think of all the money we spend on houses, on boats, on trucks, on cars that we can't really afford. We put them all on credit. Our family budgets are maxed. Why? Because we have this desire deep inside of us to fit in. And it not always does it have to do with money. I think there are many who maybe at one time in their life they were just desperate to get married. And so they dove into marriage. Why? Because all their friends were married. Or maybe when you were first married, you had kids a little sooner than you were ready to have kids. Why? Because all your friends were having kids. You see, I think inside of every last one of us, there's a little boy or a little girl that was that little boy or little girl that was out on the playground when we were young. That's wondering, which of these groups do I belong in? Do I have friends? Do they like me? Here's the thing. I believe that's why social media and Facebook are so popular right now. Because we all have this longing to fit in. And by the way, when I talk about Facebook and you go, oh, that's just a kid's thing. It's not true. Do you know that the fastest growing demographic on Facebook is 65 and older? You know why? Because we all have this little boy or this little girl inside of us that wants to know we have a lot of friends. We all have this little boy or little girl inside of us that wants to be liked. You see, here's what I believe about every last one of us. We all want to belong. We all have this desire that I think God put deep inside of us. We all have this desire to know we belong. Interestingly, I think this is why our politics sometimes are so crazy. I mean, you think about it, when you affiliate with a certain political party, we say, I belong to the Republican Party. I belong to the Democratic Party. And then rather than looking at individual candidates, rather than looking at individual issues, it's interesting what we do. We just vote based on our party line because we belong. You see, we all have this desire to belong. Now, over the summer, our theme has been, it's personal. We've talked about all kinds of personal topics, from depression, anxiety, to the struggles we sometimes have in our families. But I'm going to admit something to you. I'm going to get a little vulnerable. This topic is one that connects with me more than any other topic that we'll talk about this summer. There's something I should let you in on, and maybe the other former pastors in the room can relate to this. Every time I get ready to come up here and speak in front of you, I hate to admit this, I'm a little afraid. Because there's this little boy, inside of me that says, who are you to get up in front of all of them? I mean, what do you have to say that any of them need to hear? You're just one more boring pastor. They're going to sleep through your message like they've done 1,000 times before. They may smile at you and look happy, but inside they're really saying, I hope he finishes 10 minutes early. See, it's true. You see, inside of me, there's that little voice that wonders, do I belong up here? You see, and that story has been a part of my life my entire life. I grew up, actually, the son of a pastor. And growing up the child of a pastor is a really weird thing. You know, I'd be sitting with my buddies, and they talk about how their dad, he was a contractor, and he built this great building or this really cool house in town. Or I'd sit with my buddy whose dad was a coach, and he'd talk about how his family or his team went to state and had got all these kinds of awards. I talked to my buddy whose dad was a banker and talked about all the success he had. And then we go around the circle, and I was always really quiet when this conversation happened, and that's when someone would look at me and say, hey, doll, what does your dad do? And I'd quietly say, well, he's a pastor. And you should have seen the look on their faces. Huh? Oh. And here's the funny thing about being a pastor's kid. All of a sudden, everything changes. Because these friends of mine that could swear like sailors, all of a sudden they never swore around me. In fact, they'd apologize when they'd slip. There was something about them that held back a part of who they were because I was the pastor's kid. You see, and it always left me with this wondering, where do I belong? Part of my story, many of you know, is that when I was in fourth grade, my mother passed away. And when you experience that at a young age, you experience something nobody else experienced. I always felt a little different. And it led me to wonder, where do I belong? My family remarried, and there was this collision of two families coming together. And if you've ever been a part of a blended family, you know that when two families come together, there is this huge reorganization of the family org chart. Huh? And it leaves everyone in the family wondering, where in all of this do I belong? We moved a bit when I was a kid. For example, we moved to Iowa, down to Sioux City, Iowa. And in Sioux City, all my new friends, they played hockey. And in sixth grade, I had never played hockey before in my life. But to fit in, I signed up for hockey. That did not go well. And we moved back to North Dakota, out to rural North Dakota, little town, Castleton. And I remember rolling into town, and I saw more pickup trucks and tractors than I'd ever seen in my life that first day. You see, it led me to wonder, where do I belong in all this? And even going off to college, I had the privilege of attending a private college, Concordia College. And the thing I knew about private colleges is that's where all the rich kids go. And so it sometimes felt like I was faking it. Now, I tell you this long story about my questioning of where do I belong, not because my story is so unique, but because I believe all of us, at one time or another in our lives, we ask this question, do I belong? Do I belong? And here's what I think. Rather than belonging, often what we do is we settle for fitting in. We all want to belong, but I think so often we settle for fitting in. And you need to know that fitting in and belonging are two very different things. Now look at my really fancy and expensive props up here. So fitting in is very different than belonging. You see, to fit in, we have to renegotiate who we are. We have to wedge who we are into somebody's preconceived notion of who we should be. We all have these places in our lives where people have this idea of who we should be. And so fitting in requires that I change who I am. All of me will never fit into somebody else's preconceived notion of who I should be. Put another way, fitting in requires you to sacrifice a part of who you are. But there's this other thing called belonging. And belonging is really different from fitting in. Because belonging is being you. Belonging is being the you that God created you to be. Belonging never requires me to sacrifice a portion of who I am. Belonging never means I negotiate who I am to fit in. You see, here's what I believe. Belonging is something that's inside of you. Belonging is something that God places inside of you. When we know that we are created by God and that we are a child of God, we belong wherever we end up. Whether we're in a room all by ourselves or with a room filled with 10,000 people. Now you might be wondering, why are we taking a Sunday to talk about all this? Well, there's a psychologist by the name of Brené Brown. And she talks a lot about belonging. And she says, all of us have this struggle in our younger years with fitting in. And when we go through that struggle, one of two things always happens. The first is we strive to fit in and we get rejected. And some of us have painful scars from our childhood of being rejected. The other thing that happens at times is that we strive and strive to fit in. And maybe we do fit in. But we have to compromise a portion of who we are in order to fit in. And with both, those leave some painful scars in our life. And she says, if those are not addressed, if those are not spoken, we go into adulthood and one of three things happens in our lives. The first is this, we live wounded. That event of trying to fit in, it wounds us. And if it's unexamined, we either go into life wounded and we strive to numb that wound by doing things that aren't healthy for us, or we take that wound out on the people closest to us, the people we love. The second thing she says, if we don't live wounded, we pretend that our pain doesn't exist. We Midwesterners are really good at this. We shove it down deep. And what happens if we shove it down deep? We will certainly pass it on to our kids and to our families and those around us. But she argues that there's a third way forward, that we can deal with those moments in our lives where we strive to fit in. She says there's a third option. We can name our story and we can own it. And when we name that story of striving to fit in, somehow that story loses its power, it loses its grasp on us. And as people of faith, we recognize that we belong wherever we are to this great God of ours. Whether we be here, whether we be all by ourselves, or we in a room of 10,000 people. Growing up, moving around from place to place, there's something I got really good at, and that was studying people. Our family's going to go to the state fair in a few weeks. We always love to do that, but there's something we always do. We love to people watch. Anybody else like to people watch? Especially at the state fair. But I got really good at studying people. As we'd move into a new town, we get introduced to new friends. I spent a period of time always studying them, understanding what made them tick, what made them happy, what made them sad, what their political persuasions were, what made them laugh. And I used that to fit in as a young adult, young boy. And I would have to say that I think a part of that loving to study people led me to be a pastor. Because as a pastor, we're always studying what people need to hear and what God is speaking in their midst. But as I think about that, there's something as a pastor that's kind of unique, but not so unique. Any of us in leadership positions, leaders in our family or in our work, we experience this. You see, whenever you're in a position of leadership, everybody has their own notion of who they want you to be. Am I right? In your family, for example, if you raised kids, you know your kids had an idea of what they wanted you to be. They wanted you to serve them dessert for breakfast, have an open wallet policy, and no curfew, right? They had expectations for who you would be. And it's no different as a leader of a business, an organization, or as a pastor. And we always have this question, and this is how this fitting in works for us as adults. Am I going to do what they want me to do? Am I going to be who they want me to be? Am I going to say what they want me to say in order to fit in? And in fitting in, I always sacrifice a portion of who I am. Or am I going to remember that I belong, that I'm a child of God wherever I am, and I'm going to stay true to who God has created me to be, the education God has filled me with, the experiences. Am I going to do what I believe is best for God's people? You see, here's another way to put that. Are you going to live afraid of not fitting in, or are we going to be true to who we are and belong wherever we might be? In the Bible, there's a book. It's called 1 Corinthians. It's a letter that Paul wrote. And if you know nothing else about Paul, what you need to know about Paul is Paul wanted to destroy the church in his early years. He hated the church. He persecuted Christians, threw them in jail. Many of them were killed. But Paul had a conversion experience. And we know that Paul started most of the churches that we hear about in that New Testament story. Paul is the author of much of the New Testament. Well, he writes this letter to the church in Corinth that he had started because the people of Corinth had some visitors that came to town, and these visitors looked at that church and they said, "You're doing it all wrong. You're not acting in the right ways. You're not living your life. You're not following the rules. You got to get your act together." And so understandably, they write to Paul, and Paul is writing back. And Paul, interestingly, says these words. He says, "For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God," help me here,
I am what I am,
"and his grace towards me has not been in vain." You see, what I think Paul was saying to those people is own your story. Because God knows your story. God knows your story, and whatever happens in your story, it's never going to change how you belong to God. You see, Paul said, "Look at me. I'm an apostle. I wanted to destroy the church, and now I'm an apostle. I'm one God has sent on a mission." You see, own your story. Because whatever happens in that story, it's never going to affect how you belong to God. I think David knew this as well. In the Psalms, we read these words. "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." You see, I think what David knew is that God invites us to own our story because God knows that story from the very beginning of that story to the very end. And even though God knows that story, we will always belong to God. You see, here's the thing about belonging for God. There's a bit of a paradox to belonging. On the one hand, God invites us. God says you can be brave. You can be brave and stand alone. There's a portion of belonging that says, I'm not going to fit in. I'm going to be who God created me to be. But it's in belonging to myself and standing alone that I actually experience what it means to belong. Because belonging isn't something outside of us. Belonging is something God has placed inside you. It's knowing that I am a child of God wherever I go. But here's the thing about God. I think God knows that in this world where we're always trying to fit in, that that's a bit of a scary proposition, being willing to stand alone. And so throughout the Bible, there's a phrase that's repeated again and again and again. And that phrase is this: do not be afraid. Do not fear. I think if the modern translation of the Bible were written, I think it would read, be brave, be bold. You see, in the book of Isaiah, it says these words: but now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel.
Do not fear.
All right, I'm going to ask you to say that again. This time, say it like you mean it. Well, hold on. This time, say it like you mean it. Are you ready? One, two, three.
Do not fear.
Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. And one more time,
do not be afraid.
Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do you know that that phrase, do not be afraid, appears in the Bible 365 times? Isn't that interesting? Maybe because we have a God who knows we need to be reminded. You don't need to be afraid. You can be brave. Because I created you. I know you. And you will always, always, always belong. Whether you're in a room by yourself or with 10,000 people, you will always belong to me. Let me pray for you today. Good and gracious God, you know that in the stories of the people in this room, in my story, there are questions of fitting in and belonging. It seems like it's human nature to wonder about these things. And for some of us, we've striven to fit in, and that fitting in either led to painful rejection or it led to us compromising ourselves, and that's left wounds on us. So God, you invite us to name those stories, to own those stories. And in owning those stories, we are reminded that we are your children, that we are always yours, that we will belong whether we are by ourselves or we're surrounded by a crowd of people. God, remind us that we always belong to you. God, we pray this all in your name, and all God's people said.